You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Into the Dynasty Draft Crew, presented by the Sports Illustrated NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ryan Searfoss, joined as always with my co-host, Eric Adams. In tonight's show, we're going to be discussing an intro to IDP with Matt Donnelly from Dynasty Vipers and Vipercast Podcast, which is a member of the Fantasy Points Media Group. And guys, remember, come support our show, hit the subscribe button, leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it can be found. It takes a few seconds. We really appreciate it. And if you want to talk football with us and talk some draft, fantasy, anything, hop in our Discord channel. We'll be able to hang out there too. And let's get into it. Matt, welcome to the show. And glad to hear you, bring you here and talk some IDP. So tell everybody a little bit about yourself, how long you've been in it, what you're working on, all that fun stuff.
Oh man, I'm hoping things start to slow down here right away. We've been, it's been a busy, crazy couple months over at the DynastyVipers.com, over at the YouTube there with the Dynasty Vipers Vipercast. Kind of got two different things going on there with a bunch of writing, publishing, getting those articles out there. And then, of course, if you've had a chance to tune into the Vipercast, any of your favorite analysts, they've been on the show at some point in the last couple months. We've been hammering out the guests. We've been blessed enough to have some of the best minds and best people in the industry join us here lately. We've got our IDP guys collab with their draft magazine coming out as well. So we got that going on. And recently we've just joined in with the Fantasy Points Media Group here as well with the Vipercast. So you name it, it's been about just about everywhere for us right now. It's been a crazy couple months, and I think business is just picking up.
That's awesome, and we're getting closer to redraft season when everybody comes over, so that makes it more fun. Before we hop into everything, Eric, I need to ask you about something that I just keep seeing popping up. Is it Mac Jones season yet?
Cool. Yeah, that train's not going to stop.
I just had to ask. I keep seeing it every day, and we're only a few days into camp, and I'm like, it sounds like it's his already.
He looked good throwing the ball in shorts and shells. I'll give him that, and in the rain. But I don't know. They're gonna give Cam a longer leash than that. We'll see. It's gonna be a battle in training camp, though. That's for sure.
What's the chance of them stick with number 50?
Zero. Absolutely zero. That's what we do. That's what we put our rookies through.
It's pure trash. The 50 should be his number.
I wouldn't mind it, but it's not going to happen.
Awesome. So the reason we're talking today, brought Matt specifically on, is he is the man when it comes to IDP. If you haven't played IDP before, it's individual defensive players. So we're talking defense today and mixing it in and expanding on your fantasy drafts. Matt, why IDP? Like, tell us why you like it and why everybody should play it. Or at least if you generously list us.
Yeah, no, if you love fantasy football, you almost need to try IDP out. Not for the fact that it's another genre, so to speak, but it helps you educate yourself a little bit further in your favorite type of leagues. So even if you're in a standard league, I guess I can't even call it standard. Superflex is basically now the standard if we look around. But if you're in a 1QB league, even if it's a redraft, you know, standard scoring, IDP adds that little extra element to it where now you're watching – okay, I've got this running back, but now who are the linebackers going up against him? And how is that going to affect running backs? Well, Jonathan Taylor's out there, but now he's playing, say, the Dallas Cowboys with Jalen Smith, and you've got Leighton Vander Esch, Micah Parsons coming out. How is this going to divvy up everything that's going on? And it's kind of that game inside the game because, Ryan, as you know, there are certain facilities, certain scoring buildings like the Buffalo Bills that are a little more friendly to the tackles and assisted tackles than some other facilities are. So it gives you kind of the game inside the game. It gives you that added gamesmanship. And basically, you know, if you're always looking for that next fix when it comes to fantasy football, a lot of us started with a standard redraft league, then moved into dynasty. We've gone into Debbie leagues, talk about guillotines and vampire leagues and all these other leagues that have kind of spurned off. IDP is another one of those leagues that kind of goes off there. And Eric, we talked a little bit off the air. If you're looking for that league that combines monster trucks and wrestling, it's IDP. It's basically how you bring that all together.
Right up my alley. Right up my alley. Before we really get into it here, every fantasy football player should play an IDP league. I've talked to I'm not naming any names here. I've talked to some people who just have no. They may be really good at, you know, vanilla fantasy football when it comes to the offensive players. They have no idea what's going on the defensive side of the ball. Like, if you want to become more knowledgeable just about the game, period, I think people should play IDP leagues. That just goes without saying. You'll know the players more, which is what I basically play fantasy football for. I get to know the players more. And in IDP leagues, you get to know who the studs are and how opposing defenses are facing off against opposing offenses, like Matt said. This is preaching to the choir. When Ryan asked me, he's like, you want to do an IDP pod? I'm like, hell yeah, I want to do an IDP pod. And I'm very, very happy this came to fruition tonight. So... yeah, enjoy.
I was happy that you were excited about it because thought about canceling it and not doing it, but I'm really excited about it.
Will not allow it.
So we're talking just quickly. What's your preferred build for an IDP league? I know what I've recently become a fan of personally, which I'm kind of getting into, but what do you choose if you can?
If we're talking about drafting in general, first off, before you get into any league, you have to check that scoring, because that scoring makes a huge difference. You know, you could have leagues in which defensive tackles get that little extra bonus point, which I like that. I love the fact that the big guys get a little bit more love. If a big guy can score, hook me up. I'm into this. This is my type of league. So the more the big guy can get points, the more I'm for it. So if you can – but that changes everything. Now you got this guy like Aaron Donald. Now, if he's at that defensive tackle position, you give a little bit of a D-tackle a la tight end premium, then all of a sudden he shoots right through the roof. Those guys are going – you want to build through that line. Typically in a standard IDP league where it's more tackles focused, you build with the linebackers. But I'm telling you, value-based drafting – is going to always lead me to usually the edge, usually those defensive ends, those big guys, because you can get – there's only about seven big-time players at the defensive end position that are going to score up there with the linebackers. When you get to the linebackers, there's – you know, you got your two, three guys like any other position out there, but then there's quite a bit of balance, kind of like the wide receiver almost. We used to compare linebackers to running backs, but I think a wide receiver is probably a better comparison now when it comes to how the scoring is in effect for the linebacker position.
Yeah, literally, I had this conversation with Matt Hicks, one of our other hosts over here at Draft Bible. He joined his first IDP league with me, and I kind of explained his offensive positions. Tell me if I'm wrong, but I may have lied to him by saying this. I said the linebackers are like wide receivers. There's a ton of them who get tackles and produce. There's a couple high-end guys, and then there's a lot of just value plays. Defensive line, I compared to the tight end position. And then DBs more to the running backs, where there's those few elite, and then there's kind of a drop-off. Is that solid?
Yeah, and I think it comes down, like, so we've compared to interior defensive line or more as the tight ends if there's that premium on the position. I think the edge rushers you can kind of compare to the running backs a little bit more. Maybe even the quarterbacks, the elite pass rushers, depending on how that scoring system goes. And DBs, you know, if you're in like a sleeper, for example, I love how sleeper kind of has guys like Jabril Peppers with that linebacker / safety / DB positional scoring.
Yeah, so nice.
You kind of get that flexibility there. It's almost like having Taysom Hill with the tight end position.
Okay, yeah. Even though this show's not a fan of Taysom Hill, maybe Eric is, I'm not. But no, that's perfect. Now, do you like to do like 11-on-11 type leagues if you were to choose? Or
the more like, IDP, the better.
The more the better.
I like the separation of the positions. I like being able to go with at least one interior D-line, a couple edge rushers, three linebackers. You know, you throw three maybe a couple corner positions, a couple safety positions. The more you can stick out there, the better, I think, because I think it makes your league that much more interesting. Because when you think about it, if you're in that IDP league and you get a corner and you also you get like a point, I will some minor scoring here, a point for a pass breakup, 3 points for an interception, and 6 points for the pick six, that's a 10-point play.
Yeah.
So if you're and that's on some minor league scoring, you can get kind of as creative as you want. You can get points per yards returned on an interception. You can go, you can get crazy with this kind of stuff. You can
put, by one league, we need 6 points for a pick.
Yeah. So you're never out of it. Like the IDP, if you draft really poorly offensively, you can totally make up for it on the IDP end of things. So I think it's fantastic. And like I said, you get these defensive ends, you get the sack, the strip, and the fumble recovery, and now all of a sudden you're looking at 9 points. They take that in, now you're looking at a 15-point play. So you're never out of a game with your IDPs.
Yeah, and it sounds absurd when you say it, but what's different than a 60-yard touchdown, 12 points right there?
Yeah,
13 PPR. Like that's it happens, and it's fine. You don't have a ton of plays because sacks are some similar touchdown the amount you get.
Yeah, I think one of the things we've seen in the IDP end of things, and I think that's kind of a boiling point to some degree, is some people want a standard scoring for IDP. We've heard that argument on a multiplication, multiple ends there. I think the flexibility of the scoring is very key, in my opinion. Whether I'm right or wrong, I don't know. I prefer that flexibility where you can kind of customize the league to kind of fit what's going on with the rest of your league. So if you've got a tight end premium, like we mentioned, that's PPR on top of it. Well, why don't you put a little bit extra on the defensive side rather than going with a standard scoring and have that flexibility there as well?
Yeah, and standard scoring could be a whole different thing. You can't have – there's no standard scoring in fantasy football anymore. There's really not. We're seeing points for first downs. We're seeing, like you said, tight end premium. Seeing double tight end premium. All kinds of stuff. And well, –
take a look at what Scott Fish has added in the last couple of years. Minus negative points for incompletions now gets thrown into the whole equation too. So
that's my favorite scoring thing of all time right there. The point per completion, point minus one for incompletion. It's probably one of my favorite things in fantasy scoring. Now, say you're drafting in a fairly, let's say, even league where scoring's pretty flat across the board. When do you start taking your defensive players?
I'm a firm believer still, and it comes down to making sure your offensive roster is kind of set in place. So make sure I got my quarterback, make sure I got my two running backs kind of already established, depending on how the system is. Make sure I got my two wide receivers. I might punt the tight end position if I don't get one of those big three, or if you consider Kyle Pitts the big four. If I don't get one of them, I may push it off. So you're looking at – I'm probably looking at earliest I'd go IDP – maybe the seventh round if we're talking about a redraft league. And it might be one of those things, if I'm in like picking at 112 and I got to wait a long time before someone comes back in that eighth round, where I think people are probably going to go heavy on the Miles Garrett's, the Chase Young's, maybe they go a little bit of linebacker. That's maybe where I strike is back end of the seventh, early in the eighth.
Okay. Similar with Dynasty. This is Dynasty podcast. Kind of, we'll stick there a little bit, but similar to that as well.
Yeah, I don't think it changes that much when it comes, depending on either way. So I think the seventh, eighth round is kind of that sweet spot for IDPs. Now, if it's one of those crazy, crazy scoring leagues where Aaron Donald's playing defensive tackle and all of a sudden he's going to average more than a quarterback does, I may jump a little bit earlier if you're talking about a defensive tackle premium type thing where he's really getting you 20 sacks per year. He may be worth a fifth round gamble at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then now, do you go to linebacker first, lock up that elite one, or do you get, of course, where the defensive ends? Like, what's that strategy look like there?
For the most part, I'm thinking I'm going to lean towards the guaranteed points. I don't like having a – I like to have a high floor, maybe a little bit lower ceiling, as opposed to a lower floor and the higher ceiling. So edge rushers – TJ Watt gives you a high ceiling, big time opportunity for play at the linebacker position, but he can also give you, if he doesn't get those sacks, he may be putting you close to zero on a weekly basis. Now flip over to a linebacker, middle linebacker type guy. he may not be able to get those sacks or those picks or those other kind of things, but you know you're going to get a consistent 8 or 9 tackles, which is good for 8 or 9 points. Plug that into the lineup. I give me those guaranteed points. I might be where I'm going, especially if the standard on the IDP scoring is more tackle friendly.
Okay. Yeah. So my most recent one I've done, I went on IDP draft this year, and I went defensive end to start for my defensive players. And I questioned it because it lacked the linebacker position. But
Huh? And then again, in a league like if you're talking about a league like Sleeper that gives you that dual positioning, mm-hmm. I may lean a little bit towards a TJ Watt because that gives me the ability to maybe not draft as many IDPers. So if you still got to start X amount of guys, and all of a sudden I'm like, okay, I got TJ Watt. He's got a defensive line and linebacker eligibility. That means I could draft one less linebacker or one less defensive lineman because I've got that flexibility in the position. So that's something else I think about when I'm going into these leagues. And it's one of those things we did recently where I was like, okay, I got TJ Watt. He was my first player off the board. I got that dual eligibility. Now I can go add an extra running back or add an extra wide receiver, knowing I don't necessarily have to grab a defensive lineman right away because I have a defensive lineman in TJ Watt as well. And I can go with the depth kind of guy, maybe a guy that we're not talking about as much, like Leighton Vander Esch, who has been dropping down on boards where you might feel he's more – he could have a good bounce back year in 2021.
Yeah. I like Leighton Vander Esch call for that. I mean, there's a lot of linebackers there to really eat up those tackles, but it's kind of what he does, man. So, yeah. With team building there, so you're just – so you fill up the offensive roster – then is do you focus mainly on defensive roster unless like you kind of get one of those players or just BPA after that? You want to fill out your whole starting lineup before you're really pounding on the bench unless, you know, somebody falls. It shouldn't be there.
Yeah, I'm going to make sure I get my start. Like I said, my starting core positions there. I might leave some of the flex off right now, depending on what we're looking at. And I may punt that tight end position, maybe getting a Logan Thomas or Robert Tonyan a little bit later in the draft if I've missed out on those tight ends, which means gives me that opportunity to kind of start filling out some of those core positions on the IDP side, making sure I get that tackle machine in the middle and make sure I get that elite edge rusher. I'll probably punt the corner/DB position till a little bit later, unless I'm sitting there and all of a sudden Jamal Adams or Buda Baker is still sitting right there at a great value, then you kind of have to jump at it. But for me, for the most part, I'm going to use DBs late in the draft. I'll probably go, like I said, fill up my offensive roster, grab a couple of linebackers, grab a couple of defensive linemen that are high end, then start filling in those flex positions and then kind of coming back to the defensive backs because you can stream corners pretty much all season.
Yeah.
There are more dart throws in IDP, the corners?
Well, and here's the thing. This is where IDP is a beautiful, beautiful game. You don't want good corners. You don't want guys who can cover. You want guys who are going to get lit up because that's where the tackles are. That's who they're attacking. If you can find yourself a corner, and this is where you guys talk about the draft Bible there. If you can find yourself a rookie corner that's going to make the roster and get a starting spot, chances are he's going to have good value in IDP because as a veteran quarterback, are you going to choose to throw the ball at Richard Sherman on one side? Or are you going to aim at this rookie corner on the other side? You're going to attack the rook. So that's the guy I want on my IDP roster. I want that rook. I want that Cam Dantzler type guy. I want Gladney there. Well, I don't want him now because of everything else that's going on there. But he's a guy who, let's be honest, his coverage skills needed a little bit of work. He got picked on a lot last year, but he was good for IDP purposes because he got lots of tackles, lots of opportunities to break up passes, and that's what you want in those corners. You want that opportunity, just like a running back. Your best attribute is your availability at the running back position. James Robinson's a guy we're not talking about right now if it wasn't for the workload that he got on the offensive side of the ball. Once Leonard Fournette kind of left, you knew that opportunity was going to be there for James Robinson. Well, it's the same thing with the corners. If you got a corner that's a rookie or a corner that's probably going to get picked on, that's that opportunity. Dante Jackson in Carolina has been a prime target. He's been a fantastic corner for years because he's not very good.
I feel like nickel corners are always kind of the place to go to.
nickel corner's fantastic. The Mike Hilton's now, he was a savior when he was in Pittsburgh. Now he's, I think, in Cincinnati. He's a guy I definitely want because you get a corner that's going to play the run. He's going to step up in the run game. He's going to get into the pass rush a little bit too. There's potential for a few sacks in there. Quick hitters, guys, those nickel corners that are going to cover those elite tight ends, those are guys you want to get on as well. So, yeah, that's kind of, like I said, there's lots of opportunities there at the DB position. That's why I kind of like to punt it towards the end and then kind of read the matchups and stream the position.
Yeah, I was actually saw today, someone was talking about Marlon Humphrey and IDP, how he lit it up last year, but he's kind of trapped this year because he played in the nickel last year because all the nickels got hurt for Baltimore. And him moving back outside, that production is not going to be there because he's not making 8 tackles a game. So if you're inside, you have that.
Yeah, and like I said, these guys nowadays are pretty much like linebackers there. You get guys like Jeremy Chinn, who's a safety/linebacker hybrid. He's coming down in the box a lot. He's a guy you're going to want to attack. Kyle Duggar, we talked about him last year. You guys probably mentioned him several times. He's in that hybrid-type role. He's everything that we thought Isaiah Simmons was going to be because, you know, Isaiah Simmons, everyone was in love with except me because I had Kyle Duggar and Jeremy Chinn both ahead of him in my rankings. But that's not here nor there because I just love that freakish athletic ability which they're going to come into the box, especially when you're talking IDP, and be that difference maker.
We're saying good things about Kyle Duggar on our podcast. I'm very happy right now. I'm very happy right now.
Yeah.
Kyle Duggar, stud. Absolute stud.
What's that top 10 overall look like for IDP? Oh, I mean, you don't have to be exact. Obviously, it's kind of top the head thing. Like, what are we looking at there? Like,
who all linebackers?
I don't think so. I think you're still looking at, I mean, Aaron Donald's going to be in the top 10 no matter how you look at it, whether he's a defensive tackle or defensive end, because of the value-based drafting, I think is key. I think you may see more edge rushers in that top 10 then you would see pure linebackers. I think Myles Garrett's got to be in there. I think Chase Young's got to be in that top 10. TJ Watt has that ability. He's a top 10 linebacker, and you throw that edge rusher ability, he's in there too. And then you've got our dude there, man, Roquan Smith. This dude needs more love. He is, in my opinion, the best linebacker in the game. Like, I think he's underrated. I don't think he gets nearly as much love. I don't think we talk about him as a top tier linebacker. Him and the Devin White, he's another guy you got to make sure you get.
Devin White's so good.
These are guys that they're young and this and that. Guys I like a little bit later, the Deion Jones, though, I can get a guy, let's call Devin White. I like him. I love Deion Jones, but he's a guy that we kind of forget about. He's a guy, linebacker you can get a little bit later as a linebacker two, so to speak, that has that high linebacker one type upside. So I think for value based drafting, I think you're going to see a lot more of those edge guys sprinkled in with those elite linebackers.
Okay. No DBs like Buda Baker sneaking in there or Jamal Adams.
You know what? If Jamal Adams can repeat what he did last year, I think it's hard to keep him out of that top 10. Like, you're talking about a DB who is getting you dang near double-digit sack totals. You know what I mean? If you're getting a guy who's going to come play the box as much as Jamal Adams, I don't know if I got him in top 12, but he's probably my top 15. As far as IDP is concerned, I'm not, I still have a hard time because I'm old school. Like, I'm still the guy who will draft two linebackers in the first two rounds, probably three running backs, sorry, in the first three rounds. That's still me. So I still have a problem taking a DB as early as where Jamal Adams deserves to go. So that's probably not going to be me making that up, taking that chance. I may punt a Jamal Adams for, I don't know, say a Marcus May type player. That might be where I feel more comfortable, but. Yeah, I'm still old enough to stick to my running back type theory, and it's the same with avoid DBs until the very end. But guys like Buda Baker and even Jabril Peppers, who's got that linebacker ability there, he plays a lot of in-the-box type safety role. Those guys are tough to pass on, but I don't think you want to take them in the top 15 as far as IDP positional players go.
All right, wait. This is a good time to ask this question. Settle a bet for us. Is Jamal Adams a linebacker or a safety? There's one right answer. You know what it is. You know what it is.
I think Jamal Adams is more of a linebacker than he is a safety.
Thank you.
I don't remember this bet. I mean, probably.
Now, the reason I say that is Jamal Adams is a thumper. He will put the hurt down on you. He comes downhill in a hurry. He loves the blitz. He loves to hit that A-gap even on the blitz. He likes to attack on the outside. There's nowhere that Jamal Adams can't be. On the flip side, his coverage skills are not near elite for the position.
But doesn't that follow up with what you said about corners? They're catching ball and he has to make that tackle.
Exactly, but he's nowhere near the play. That's where, because he plays so much inside the box, he's not in there to make those plays in the passing game. So you lose that opportunity. Now, like I said, I think he's more of a linebacker than he is a safety. He's a better linebacker. He's a guy, especially the way the game is going now, where you got these smaller linebackers. You like we just drafted a joke out there, Wasu Koromoa. Where is he? Is he a linebacker? Is he a will? Or is he really kind of a safety? Or is he a Kyle Duggar or Jeremy Chinn type player? That's where I see him as. I see him more as that guy that, you know what, we're going to use you at safety. We're going to bounce you at the outside linebacker. You know what, you're going to go cover Travis Kelce because you're an athletic freak too. And I think that's kind of where a lot of these teams are going. Jamal Adams has that ability to play that weak side linebacker type role. And you can rotate guys. I think they want the guys. Unfortunately for Jamal Adams, he's not very good in coverage. So having him cover a tight end is probably not where you want him. But Buda Baker, on the other hand, is a lot better in coverage. So you could bring him down in the box and have him line up against the safety or a tight end, and he's still going to be in good position.
Yeah, I mean, now are you gonna like rookie?
Nope. Your audio's cutting out.
Well, that's all right. We'll keep talking. Like I said, the difference between Buda Baker and Jamal Adams, it's a huge difference between the two as far as the coverage ability goes. I think Buda Baker is probably the better all-around safety if we're talking real-life player because he can cover. He can play the run game as well as he plays the pass game, where Jamal Adams is more of a threat in the blitz game and getting pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, we sound better now.
Yep.
We sound better now.
Now with the dual threat guys, like those multi-position guys that you mentioned, Jamal Adams, Jeremy Chinn, Kyle Duggar, rookie draft-wise, are you focusing on players who could have that dual eligibility then after you get past the studs? Like, I feel like that's something strategy-wise makes sense because you want those guys who can play multiple places because it fills out roster easier.
Absolutely. I think, especially if you're playing in leagues that does have that opportunity of dual eligibility, I think you'd be doing yourself a disservice. If we all agree that offense is still kind of where it's at, that's where your bread and butter is going to be made on your roster lineups, why don't you go grab a player that has dual eligibility? Because you're not going to get dual eligibility very often on the offensive side of the ball.
No.
All that dual
eligibility. Not great.
Never. Unless you get like a taste of Tim Tebow, I think, on sleeper has quarterback tight end eligibility right now. But you're going to see that more on the defensive side. So if I've got a linebacker, say, let's use Jeremiah Owusu-Koromoa. If he gets that linebacker / DB eligibility, I could basically take him as my linebacker. And now I have one less DB I need to draft, which means now I can draft one more handcuff at the running back position or wide receiver 3 or take a chance on a guy like Chuba Hubbard. Right, we all agree that Chuba's probably not going to see the field behind McCaffrey, and if he does, it's going to be on the rare occasion. However, if McCaffrey goes down, Chuba's value goes through the roof. So now instead of me wasting a draft pick in a redraft or whatever that looks like, instead of me wasting a pick on a DB or maybe going for a corner that I don't necessarily need, I can go grab that high-end ceiling-type running back that may sit on my roster all year, but I feel comfortable with that because the upside is going to be there.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Good, because I usually don't make sense at all.
That every once in a while, it's speaking the same language. The one issue, so I've been doing IDP probably 4 or 5 years now. I think my second league, one of my earlier leagues I've ever been in, I've been with you now for 40 seasons. One of the biggest issues I've seen was trading. When it comes from like offensive for defensive players. And I don't think I'm the only one with that issue because value wise, it's hard. Like you're talking about handcuff running backs in the same place where you're taking maybe not an elite, but a high end safety or pretty solid linebacker. Like, how does this work for you? Like, that's where big issue comes up. I think it's scary when you're playing. You haven't really been involved.
I agree. I think it's funny because we talk about a guy like Bobby Wagner getting a little bit longer in the tooth, high-end production. He's probably producing at the same level as our RB1 is, you know, if you go point for point. But unfortunately, we devalue the IDP end of things to the point where you'll be lucky to get an RB2 type player for him. You might, and this might be even pushing it, you might be able to trade Josh Jacobs for Bobby Wagner a couple of, like last year. Is that fair? Bobby Wagner's out producing Josh Jacobs, but we have this higher value on that running back position. Maybe a wide receiver three for Bobby Wagner. You know, the IDP does get pushed down a little bit because, you know what, honestly, we're also taking those offensive players in the first seven rounds, and then we're filling out the roster from eight on. So do you value that linebacker point per point for the running back position, or is it, okay, here's the value. They're running at the value of the eighth round. That is about where I want to trade. So if I drafted a running back in the eighth round, maybe that's where I could trade for a linebacker that was drafted in the eighth round. I can't trade my RB2 that I drafted in the second round for a linebacker that was drafted. That just makes me look silly. I think more than anything, you don't want to be that GM that looks stupid. I got no problem with it. I do it. I look stupid in just about everything I do. But a lot of people don't like to look stupid. And here's the thing. People don't like to lose a trade. And if it looks like you're losing a trade because it's a linebacker for a running back, you don't want to lose that. And guess what? I don't care if I lose a trade. That's the thing. I don't care if I'm losing a trade. I really believe in getting my guys, and I believe in the value. Now, I'm okay trading. Like, I might even have a hard time trading Josh Jacobs to acquire Bobby Wagner because the perceived value of the position allows me to give a lesser player for a higher-end IDP guy, which makes my roster overall better. So until we can kind of change that mindset, it's no different than how it took a while to get that in, two QB leagues, that value of that second quarterback position up as well.
Yeah, I think that gives you an advantage too if you're trading for those defensive players for guys' perceived value. So the thing is, the other issue is, if you have Bobby Wagner and somebody offers you a round eight running back, you're not going to say yes. Because running backs going to round eight are low-end starters or rotational backs. And if I have Bobby Wagner and you offer me Chris Carson, I'm going to tell you kick rocks.
Yeah.
And all reality, it could work out for both teams, but you don't want that. You don't want to get rid of that player for that, even though it makes perfect sense because he can't produce.
Exactly. It comes down to points for your roster versus points away from your roster. And I think that's how you have to view these trades. When it comes to IDP, how many points am I losing? How many points am I bringing in? And when I lose the points of the running back position, can I fill that role with who I have on my bench? And can I offset that with the linebacker? So if my linebacker one currently is only producing 8 points per game, but Bobby Wagner is going to come in and give me 12 points per game, and the running back that I'm putting in for Josh Jacobs is a difference of 2 or 3 points, does that all make a difference? Because that helped me win a weekly matchup. I think it's how we have to view this going forward as far as IDP goes.
Yeah, and that makes sense.
This has a whole new thinking, a whole new degree of thinking and strategy in the IDP game as opposed to anything else.
It does, and I think that's where the disconnect is, where it's been hard. I think it's hard for people at first, and it takes a few years of IDP to get used to it. Our first year we were in that league together, I tanked so hard. And then I think I lost you the championship the next year after I rebuilt. Like, it's – you have to learn, and you have to tough through it and see how you build the roster. And it's so fun once you do.
It is. It gives you a whole new – like I said, it gives you that whole new appreciation for the position, right? And then – I'm a draft geek, right? I love the draft. But now when I watch the draft, I'm watching defensive players too. It gives you that whole extra appreciation for the NFL draft. You're like, oh, okay, I need linebackers on my team, or I need a safety. I need this a safety. That's a position I absolutely got crushed at last year. So now I'm watching the draft, and not just my team, but now I'm seeing where these top safeties are going. Where's where's Devon Diablo going? Where can he make a difference? You know what I mean? These guys that you wouldn't be thinking about come the NFL draft for your fantasy purposes or for your fantasy seasons, now you're paying attention to. So now you get more enjoyment, in my opinion, watching things like the NFL draft because you got more to watch, more to enjoy. You're paying more attention. You're not just focusing on your team because, let's be honest, I think we're kind of moving away from my team and moving towards my fantasy team as a culture now more than anything. You've still got your diehard Ravens fans out there, but in the same sense, you're like, okay, I'm a Ravens fan. However, I have Darren Waller on my team, so I need Waller to score a touchdown here, but he can't get more than 70 yards or 4 receptions. So now you're playing like a shoot-the-moon type game. Are you cheering for your fantasy team here as far as Darren Waller, or are you cheering for your Ravens team, Ryan? Like, you know what I mean? It kind of puts you in that predicament.
Always the Ravens, unless there's a lot of money on the line.
Well, there you go.
Now like, there's another championship. That's the only way. But yeah,
but you know what I'm saying? This is a struggle that's really out there more than anything. And now you throw IDP, and then it gets crazy because now you're like, okay, I feel pretty good. Oh crap, what's his face? How's this linebacker going? Well, oh man, this just makes my whole life a little bit more complicated here now, because now I got my running back going against this last linebacker. So if my running back's only getting 3 yards per carry, but this linebacker is making a tackle on him every single time, this is not going to end well for me, you know? So it just gives you a whole new part of the game to appreciate.
Yeah. And I mean, if your team's been a defensive football team for the better part of a decade, it gives you that to root for as well. That you can actually draft players on your team. Like IDP for Lamar, like that's the only way I could draft Ravens worthwhile.
And that's, like you said, you almost want a bad defensive team. You want to play a team, say, like Cincinnati. We harp on how horrible Cincinnati's been last couple seasons, but they run nearly more plays than any other team offensively in the league. Well, guess what? The more plays you run, the more opportunities there is on the defensive side of the ball. So now I have an opportunity to cash in. So now I'm looking, okay, if I'm streaming the linebacker position, what linebackers are playing in Cincinnati this week? Because there might be someone on the waiver wire I could plug and play. I remember a few years back, one of my first championships, I had Jamar Chaney on my roster. If you don't know who Jamar Chaney is, he put together about a 4-week stretch for the Philadelphia Eagles that was averaging about 10 tackles per game. Picked him off of waivers, ran him right to the championship that year. It was fantastic.
Matt Milano has been my guy who I've just gotten everywhere and never let go of recently, who's been kind of that tackle machine. Big thing, any first-time IDP people listen to this and decide to play, what are you telling them to do with it? Like,
I would tell them to start off a little bit smaller off the get-go. You can get into some pretty crazy IDP league salary contracts. You can make this as crazy as you want to get. You know, my first IDP league, this is going back 15 or so years now. Wow. Good Lord, I'm getting old. Well, 15, and it was your, you know what? It was, okay, you got one quarterback, you got two running backs, you got three wide receivers, you got one tight end, and you got three IDP slots. And you could take a defensive end, you could take a linebacker, you could take whatever. I've seen a few of these leagues out there. So there's no pressure for you to have a huge understanding of what was going on as far as IDP goes. But you had an opportunity to go, okay, you know what? I need a linebacker. So I want to find a linebacker who's going to get me a lot of tackles because that gives me my safest floor. So you're going to plug him in because this is 15 years ago. We didn't really, as far as it was basically a point per tackle, a half a point for an assist, three for an interception, one for a pass defense, three for a sack, three for a fumble, three for a fumble recovery. You know, pretty basic scoring on this whole end of things. So tackles at 1 point per tackle look pretty good. So you wanted, everyone is basically grabbing three linebackers. Every once in a while, if you knew you're going against a team that was probably better than yours, maybe you'd go out and get yourself an edge rusher there just for that boom bust Khalil Mack type guy. Right. So I would recommend starting off small, finding a league where you only have to have two or three IDP guys. See how you feel about it. See how that gets you going. Cause you know, it might not be for you, and that's okay. It's okay if IDP is not for you. But what I would just say is give it a try, because start off small, Give it a try. It'll give you a better appreciation of everything that you see on the field that day. Gives you a little bit more reason to watch. Yeah, start off small. Do a little bit of research. Reach out. There's a lot of great people in the IDP community right now that are more than willing to help out with your stuff. I know several guys I talk to almost daily in the IDP circle, and we get along pretty good. All good friends there for the most part. So it's a niche kind of league, right?
That makes it easier to reach out. It really does. Like, anytime I've had IDP questions, normally I go to you unless it's in that league because, you know, competitiveness and stuff. But like,
I wouldn't lead you the wrong way.
Yeah, okay. I know I would if it was somebody in the league I was in. I'm going to be honest about it. But like, it's a great community, and give it more than a season to try. Like, you need to give it a couple of years to, because everything sucks the first time you try it, especially if you don't win right away. But give it time. Eric, are you going to try the IDP League?
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. I'm very interested. I am very interested in doing one of these. Matt, you gave some really great information. That was great stuff. The only thing I'm going to disagree with is you said if you're not into the IDP thing, that's okay. Yeah, screw that. Y'all need to get your butts into some IDP leagues. Y'all need to educate yourselves. Both sides of the ball here. They don't just play offense in the NFL. There's two sides. There's actually three sides, believe it or not. There's special teams as well. Get in on IDP leagues. This should be the standard. We would be a lot more advanced as a community if fantasy football, the standard was IDP leagues. Just gonna say that. Learn defense.
You know what? And I'm not against that, because you're right. It does. There's three sides to the ball here, and you want to get crazy, throw a couple of little safeties returning kicks, and then you got some extra bonus points thrown in there, right? We're talking about Charles Woodson here. He's playing a little wide receiver, a little DB, but you know, you mix it up, you get some of these wide receivers, they get points for kick returns. Why not throw a little bit of IDP love in there? You have a couple guys returning kicks, corners, etc. But like I said, I'm not gonna. If IDP is not your thing, I get it. I totally get it. There's certain leagues that, you know, I'm like, I'll do it because, you know, a bunch of buddies are putting a league together, or it's an industry type league, or it might not be my cup of tea. But you know what? Once you get in these leagues, I don't care who you are, you want to win, regardless of what your knowledge level is. You don't want to go into a league and get your butt kicked. I never have. In any league that I've ever gone into, especially like these 30-team contract leagues that I get into with the salary cap, man, I don't like them. They drive me up the wall. They're stressful at times, but I ain't going to lose. I'm going to make sure I study and break it down, make sure I understand all the ins and outs of the rules and regulations of that league, no different than IDP. So I think everyone needs to try it. I think it benefits you as a fantasy football player more than anything else.
Thank you for not inviting me to one of those, by the way. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, there's been a couple leagues. And I've gone from worst to first in those type of leagues, and it's been like taking over. You know, your buddy goes, yeah, I got a league. We need an orphan owner. You know, so there's an orphan team. You want to help out? I say, yeah, sure, why not? And then you get in your league, you're like, what did you just sign me up for? This ain't no normal league.
Yeah, that's
like we're talking 30 teams. There's not even 30 quarterbacks.
Oh God, yeah, it can be rough. But
that's Matt and Ryan. Matt and Ryan come to me like, "Hey, you want to join this league? We got an orphan over here." I'm like, "What's the league sound like?" Well, we got 32 teams. We're doing actual contracts here. There's a salary cap. We're gonna have waiver claims at 12 a.m. in the morning. I'm like,
that's all Matt Hicks right there.
He
tricked me. He literally stuck me in a chat for a league. He's like, oh, you're in the chat. I guess you're in the league now.
Yep.
Like, that's the malarkey I've been put through. But awesome, dude. Really appreciate it. I'm going to say, check out Dynasty Vipers in your first IDP league if you're in it. Or, you know, you've been in for a long time. That's where I go to for my IDP stuff. You guys, it's easy to navigate. The rankings are good. I trust it. I trust the people there. It's good stuff. Promote anything else you got. Matt, tell us where we can find you. One more time, remind everybody.
Well, you know, I'm like the worst person when it comes to self-promotion. So I'm gonna promote the ViperCast, but I'm gonna take a little bit different spin on it because we got a great crew over there at the ViperCast. We got Calvin Shoemake there, Calvin and Hobby. You catch him on the ViperCast, you catch him on DLF there as well. We've got Major Caldwell, way too major. He's on there making a little bit of noise. You catch him on Clubhouse. Fantastic moderator, smooth voice. And then we got It's Tara Time. Tara Roberts there. She's absolutely crushing it right now. You can't go on your timeline on Twitter right now and not see something that she's putting out there. She's been putting out daily videos, doing some writing on the side. So it's been fantastic. And then, of course, head over to DynastyVipers.com, man. We got guys putting out new articles almost daily now. B. Martzy, you catch him out there. He's got some articles. Ryan Pros, he's got some stuff going on there. Lamont, he's got some more stuff. Like, we got article coming out. It's been a fantastic thing to watch. Beautiful thing. And, of course, when you go there, hit up the Apple podcast and stuff. Download that. Hit some stars on the review. I like shiny stars, preferably 5 stars. That'd be great. But you know what? I guess, you know, we're like IDP. We're not like everyone's cup of tea. So try and be gentle when it comes to evaluating our pod game. But no, seriously, if you appreciate what we're putting out there, let us know so we can read the comments. We'll check those all out here too. So really appreciate everyone checking that out. And like I said, we've got a nice little joining up with the Fantasy Points Media Group there. They've been supporting us here lately as well. So we've kind of got that nice little under that umbrella with them. And yeah, no, things are going good. And we got Daniel Dopp coming up here on Thursday on the show. And I'm just trying to look over my calendar here. Hayden Winks, Underdog, he'll be coming on next Monday. So we got some shows coming up. And then, obviously, it's that season right now, right? We're in Podathon season. We got the SFB Podathon going on here. We got the Mental Health Podathon. We got the Blue Skies Podathon. You'll be able to catch me on all three of those at some point. Absolutely love it. It's charity season, man. And we all got to thank Scott Fish for this charity because all these leagues, and we do it too with the Dynasty Vipers playoff leagues, have that charity aspect. We talk about how great the IDP community is. We talk about how great the fantasy football community is in general. And this is one of those things that they always come together. SFB Abbey Makers, we've got Steven Johnson, Bob Gilchrist, Nate Cheatham, guys I all associate with quite a bit through different things that are helping with that. So if you're in the Scott Fish Bowl, go drop $10, go get an Abbey made. All that money is going to charity. Donate if you get an opportunity to, because you know what? There's people out there that need it.
Yeah. And I really appreciate you coming on, and I'm going to hype you up. You're awesome. Give Matt a follow. I'm gonna ask you to post some IDP rankings underneath the podcast we have it up there. And I feel really bad because I'm not going to be able to hype the Draft Bible up and ask you 5-star reviews like you just did. But everyone, thanks for tuning in to Draft Bible presented by the Sports Illustrated Draft Bible Podcast Network. And remember, we like 5-star reviews too, just like Matt. Leave them to us. And if you don't like it, come talk to us and yell at me in the Discord channel. But thanks for tuning in. We'll catch y'all next week.
Later, taters.